On daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, five lines down from the top of the two dots, Hakori l'mafrei lo yotza. The Mishnah tells us that if he reads it backwards, he's not yotza. But that's not the subject of our sugya. We're going to deal with the question of toes. When a person makes a mistake, he skips, and he wants to now go back. And sometimes he doesn't know exactly whether he skipped. Did he make a mistake? He's in a suffix situation. We're going to consider Kriyat Shema as a doraisa, and we're going to be machmir in suffix. Let's start the Gemara. Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi Avikah Katrin. Now Katrin is the Aramaic word for kosherim. So they were tying together lay. Lay means on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer. Ginnana is a chuppah. And it would seem that Rabbi Lozer was about to get married. I'm not sure if it was that day or the next day. Omer Lahu, so Rabbi Lozer turns to the people who are organizing the sukkah, two very great colleagues of his, Rabbi Ami and Ravasi, and he says, Ad hachi v'hachi, until you finally get this all done together, I'm not going to sit around watching you or waiting. Ezel I'll go, v'shma milsa debei midrasha. Maybe I'll go into the Beis Medrash, and I'll hear some good divrei Torah, v'aisi v'emelech, and I'll promise to bring back a transmission of what I heard. And the Gemara in Erevin tells us that this was the derech of Rabbi Lazar. He was always interested in running and running to hear divrei Torah, divrei halacha. Also, ashkeche l'tana. Now the word tana doesn't mean what we think it means. It could refer, in fact, in this case, it does refer to an amora. But there were a group of amoraim, specified, singled out amoraim, who were in charge of bringing the brises down. The Tosefta's, and that's called the Tana. So anyway, Rabbi Lozer finds a Tana, the Katani Kami Rabbi Yochanan, who is bringing a Brisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan, presenting him. And all this is going on while the people are setting up the sukkah. In any event, what did that Brisa that was presented in front of Rabbi Yochanan? It's actually a Tosefta in the second parak of Brachos in our parak, and the Brisa says, Kara, he read Kriyat Shema V'tah, and he knows he made a mistake, but Eini Yodea Lehechantah, he's not exactly sure. In other words, he's already forward, and now he remembers backwards that he made some sort of an error. He's not exactly sure where he made the error. So the Brisa tells us the following ruling. B'emtza HaPerek, if he knows that he made a mistake in the middle of a chapter, one of the three prakim of Kriyat Shema, and he skipped, but he doesn't know exactly where he skipped, Yachsa l'Rosh HaPerek, he goes back to the beginning of that chapter to make sure that everything in that chapter was read properly. And that's what he has to do to be Yotze Midei Sofek. So again, since he doesn't know exactly where he made a mistake, he has to go back to the beginning of that perek. If he knows that he skipped a particular word or a particular pasuk, then he doesn't have to go back to the beginning of the parak. He can start with that pasuk or start with that word. And the Pnei Yoshua says that the chiddush here is that if he doesn't know where he made the mistake, he has to go back to the beginning of the chapter to guarantee himself that he covered his mistake. Tosus seems to indicate that even if he knows which word he made a mistake on, he still has to go back to the beginning of that pasuk, but the Meiri disagrees, and he says he just has to go back to that word. Now the Brisa continues, Bein Perek LePerek, if he knows that he finished the parasha, but when he started the next parasha, he's not sure if he made a mistake. So he doesn't know, for example, it's between the first parasha of Kriyat Shema and Vayom Shemoah, or between Vayom Shemoah or Vayomer, and he's not sure which of these prakim he made a mistake. So the din is Yachso LePerek Rishon. He's got to go back to the Perek Rishon, and he's got to go back to the beginning of Vayom Shemoah. So the case is where he doesn't know if he already read Vayom Shemoah and he was already in Vayomer. Well, perhaps he omitted volume Shmo. He skipped the second parasha, so he has to go back to that parasha where he has doubts whether he recited that. So he's going to have to go back to the beginning of volume Shemoa. Now the Brice has a third case, Bein Ksiva L'Ksiva. The Pasuk V'Uksavtem appears twice, once in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema and the second time in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. He knows he made a mistake in V'Kasavtem, or alternatively, he knows he got up to V'Kasavtem. He's not sure, did he get up to V'Kasavtem in the first parasha of Kriyat Shema or in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema? Because in both parshas, the parshios, it says, Uksavtem al mezuzos beisech v'sharecha, is yachzol k'siva rishona. He goes back to the first parsha where it says, Uksavtem. So it's quite clear that the underlying principle here, this brisa that was taught to in front of Rav Yochanan, is that safek l'chumra, he's got to cover his bases, make sure that he was yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in a case of a safek tos. Now the word perek here, in our brisa that we're studying, is like a hefsek. For example, we find in the Mishnah back on Daf Yud Gimel, Biprakim shol mipnei hakavod. And that means Beina Prakim. Let's go on. Amale Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan turns to the Tana who presented the Brice and he says, Lo Shanu, this case where he has a suffix in his Kriya and he has to go back, that only applies Ella Shalo Pasach Be Leman Yirbu Yemechem. He knows that he hasn't begun Leman Yirbu. Avol in Pasach Be Leman Yirbu Yemechem. He knows for sure he started with Laman Yirbu, is then Sirche Nakat V'Azil, which means that he read Keher Gelo as he's used to doing. And the Parsha is Shgura Befiv. So for example, let's say he's in the middle of Parsha's Vayomer and he has doubts as to whether or not he began this Parsha. The answer is that once he knows, and he knows that he had recited Levan Yirbu, he doesn't have to go back at all. He can certainly assume that he started Vayomer. Now, he doesn't remember that he said the first part of Vayomer, so he's in doubt. But nevertheless, in this case, says Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't have to doubt it at all because he started Levan Yirbu, and he knows for sure that after Levan Yirbu, he began Vayomer. And he said the first half of Vayomer. Also, when Rabbi Loza came back to transmit this Torah of Rabbi Yochanan, this comment of Rabbi Yochanan on the Braisa to Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi, the Amalahu, and he told it to them, Amru Le, they responded, Ilu Banu, Ilu Lo Banu El Lishmoa Dover Zeh Dayenu. It was worth coming just to hear this piece of Torah. Now, let's go back to the Braisa. The Braisa does not mention the Pasuk Ukshartem, even though the Pasuk Ukshartem appears in both parashios. It says Ukshartem in the first parasha, it says Ukshartem in the second parasha, Vayim Shemoa. But perhaps the difference is the following. That in the case of Uksavtem, the pronunciation of Uksavtem is identical in both parashios, first and second. But in the case of Ukshartem, so there's a difference here between a segel under the tuf and a kometz under the tuf. In Parasha Shema, the first parasha, it says Ukshartom, and in the parasha Shnia, it says Ukshartem. Now again, if you read Bavaras Faradit, it's Ukshartam as opposed to Ukshartem. But in any event, there are differences in pronunciation. There are differences also in the Tamim that are read, the Trup, under these two words. And therefore, it's not logical that he should make a mistake one from the other. He knows exactly which one he recited. But why didn't the Braisa mention Beshivtcha Veisecha, which appears identically in both parashios? And the answer is, quoted by the Tur, and quoted by the Taz, is that it's not a derech, it's not regular that a person would make a mistake so early in the parasha, or so end of the parasha, because he wouldn't have forgotten it until such a long time would have passed. But in the case where Yochel Hagish Lefi Hazman Sha'ovrim Omed Parsha Rishona Oshnia, he'll know whether he's in the first Parsha or the second Parsha. However, let's say he got to the end of the first parasha, and a certain amount of time has passed, or let's say a short amount of time, then he might make a mistake as to which parasha was the tos. Now, when he didn't say uksavtem yet, that's when he has the suffix. He doesn't know if he said uksavtem or not. If he already said uksavtem and he's sure of that, he just doesn't know whether it was in the first parasha or the second parasha, then the din is that he has to go back to the first parasha. The Rashba says that ain't tzarich lachzor ela le'emes. In other words, in the parasha Vayomer, which ends with v'emes and is followed by Birchas Kriyat Shema L'Achareya that starts with v'emes, he doesn't have to assume or suspect that he made a mistake. But if he was toeh in the bracha after Kriyat Shema, because that's not Shgura B'Fiv, he's going to have to go back to emes and begin from there again. Now, in the case of certain parshios that are not shguros b'fiv, as is Vayomer, then he may have to suspect that he was medalig, that he actually jumped over and missed certain parshios or certain parts of the parsha. Now, parshas tzitzis, it seems, in this Gemara, is more shgura b'fiv than the first two parshios, which means that if he already said Laman Yirbu, Rabbi Yochanan said we could definitely assume that he started the third parasha because it's Shkura B'Fiv. Why don't we find something similar with the first two parashas, that if he has doubts when he gets towards the end of the parasha, did he skip anything before that, he should assume that it's Ragil and Shkura B'Fiv. And this kasha bothers the mind of the Rashba to such an extent that he thinks that there's no difference between Shkura B'Fiv in the first parasha, the second parasha, the third parasha. And therefore, he offers an alternative interpretation of this statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Again, the Rashba is assuming that the first two parashas are no less Shkura B'Fiv than the third, maybe even more Shkura B'Fiv, because actually Vayomer, according to at least one day back on Daf Yadal, it is only recited once a day in the morning and not a second time at night because Lila loves Mantzitzis. But according to the Rashba's Pshat, the suffix here is Bechol Makom B'Kriyat Shema, any place in Kriyat Shema. We're not limited to Vayomer. And if he knows that he read something beforehand, then he doesn't have to be Choser, because for sure it's Hargelo to read the entire parasha. But the Brisa says that if he has a suffix, if he's in the first ksiva uksavtem, or in the second ksiva in Parshas Voyim Shemoa, then he has to go back to the first ksiva. But nevertheless, if he began Leman Yirbu, then he can assume that he started, that he had actually read the second uksavtem of the second parasha, because he only reads Leman Yirbu after he finishes the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says Lo Shanu, and that goes back to the Braisa that if he has a suffix, he has to go back to a certain makom, and that's only in those cases, with the exception of Leman Yirbu, he recited Leman Yirbu. Now, what happens if he's up to Gal Yisrael, and all of a sudden he remembers that he was medalic? He knows that for sure he recited Leman Yirbu, and everything up until Leman Yirbu is without a diluk, so therefore he doesn't have to go back earlier than the beginning of Parshas Vayomer. And if he has a suffix in the middle of Vayomer, as we said before, he can assume that he certainly started Vayomer because he said Leman Yirbu and Ishkura B'Fiv. Now the Gemara is completed up till the Mishnah. We can add that the language of Ilul Obanu in the words of Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi is a little bit odd, because they didn't come to Yehid Torah, they came to set up the Chuppah. So what does it mean, ilu lo banu? That language is a little bit difficult. In fact, in the Dikduke Sofrim, he brings a girsa, ilmole lo banu. And that's a little bit more meduyak. Now he's starting the mission of Umnin, here adaf tezainim and aleph. And the main theme of this mission is kavanah b'kriyat shema. The Umnin are busy in some very dangerous situations in their malacha. And the chassan is busy on the first night with be'ilah rishon be'ilas mitzvah. In all these cases, there's a problem because the person is not able to have the proper kavanah for kriyat shema. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'umnin, these are bali malacha. They were builders, or there were people who were in harvesting the fruits from the trees, and they're working in their malacha. Now it's time for kriyat shema." The Mishnah says, "Korin barasha ilan ubarasha nidbach." So they should read kriyat shema while they're on top of the tree or on top of a building, wherever they're working in construction. Even though it's very difficult to stand over there, only bedochak. And you might think that he doesn't have a possibility of having kavana because every moment he's thinking, oh, I might fall. But nevertheless, since we require kriyat shema, kavana and kriyat shema only in the first pasuk, therefore we're able to assume that he'll be able to overcome any fears that he has and focus and concentrate at least on the first pasuk. And that's Shema Yisrael, of course. The Mishnah continues, Masha Einom Rashaim Lasus came to Tefillah. In the case of Tefillah, for Shmon Esrei, we're going to force them to come down from the Elon or the Nidbach, stand fully on 2 feet on the ground, because Tefillah, which is Bakosh's Rachamim, needs a very profound Kavanah. And if they'll daven in a place where they cannot have full Kavanah, then that's not Tefillah. If they're afraid they're going to fall, that's not Tefillah. The poskim even talk about holding on to something during Shmon Esrei, then that's also not acceptable because you might be distracted thinking that you might drop it, or you're focusing and you're focusing on holding on to it. Chasan patur mikriyat shma b'layla rishona. Now this halach of a chasan has to do with a concept called tirda, and that means he's tarid b'machsheves mitzvah. In this case, the mitzvah be'ilah. He's farnomet. He's preoccupied and obsessed with thinking about this mitzvah. And that goes on until motzoi Shabbos imlo asa maisa. So the problem here is if he didn't get around to fulfilling his implementing his mitzvah be'ilah, how long do we extend his p'tur of kriyat shema? And we give him up until Motzei Shabbos. Let's clarify a few points here. Number one, Chasan Patur Mikriyat Shema, that's an application of the general rule called Ha'osek B'Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah, which we learned about in great detail earlier in Masechta Brachos. A Chasan, in addition to being Osek B'Mitzvah, he's also Tarid B'Machshava, Machsheves Mitzvah. He wants to be a Baki. He wants to know how to do Be'ilah properly, and he's always Mahar B'dov. The Rambam writes that he has a chashash that maybe he's afraid he won't find it to be a Besula, and Rabbeinu Yonah has a different take on it. He's a chashash that maybe he'll be injured through the Be'ilah. Now, the Petur of Chosin is only Mishas Nisuin V'elach. Before that, he's certainly Chayav in Kriyat Shema. Now, on Laila Rishona, after his be'ilah, he is chayav in kriyat shema because he's no longer tarud. Now, another point that we have to add here, when it says ad motzi Shabbos, in the time of the Gemara, they were knowing to get married on Wednesday, as is recorded in the Mishnah at the beginning of Ksubis. So if he got married on a different day of the week, then it wouldn't be Leil Shabbos, he would be potter, just count 4 days. Once 4 days have passed and he wasn't Boel, then we're not going to assume he's Torah anymore. However, the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema Perek Dalet makes a comment. He says, Gam li'achar mikan, even after the 4 day period of time, is on that night, be oso laila, sheyodeh bevadai sheyivol. So let's say a week has gone by, but he knows that tonight he's going to have Bila, he's pot. We should emphasize, please listen, that the difference that the Mishnah establishes between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah in the case of Umnun, whereas the Umnun are allowed to read Kriyat Shema up on the Elon or the Rosh Hashanah, but not in the case of Tefillah, is because Kriyat Shema only requires Kavana in Pasuk Rishon. However, Tefillah requires Kavana from beginning to the end, although it's not so that it's Likuva in the entire Tefillah, but Tefillah should be recited in a place where he can have Kavana from beginning to end. There's a Rimi Nulunil who adds a whole other dimension here to this picture, and that is that in Kriyat Shema, he doesn't have to understand every word that comes out of his mouth. What he needs to for Kriyat Shema is to have in mind Kabbal Sol Malchus Shamayim. In Tefillah, he has to be mechavin for all his bakoshes and all his tachnunim, and therefore Pirush HaMilim and the kavana therein is very critical, and he can't do that if he's up worrying about falling down. Rabbeinu Sajigon points out that Kriyat Shema is Dorais and Tefillah is Drabbanon, and yet in this case Chachomim Osu Chizuk Devrayim Yoser Mishal Torah. The Mishnah ends with the story, Maisav Ram Gamliel Shenasa Isha, the Kara Balaila Rishona, and he read Kriyat Shema, and everyone was surprised. Amru Talmidov Limadatanu Rabbeinu Shechosim Potim in a Kriyat Shema, why are you reciting Kriyat Shema? Amru Lehem, Ram Gamliel responded, Eini Shomei Lachem Levatel Heimeni Malchus Shomayim Afilu Shah Achas. And it seems that Ram Gamliel accepted upon himself a chumrah that even on his wedding night he would read Kriyat Shema. Now, let's just ask the following question. When this maisa took place, is this a stira to what we saw, and Rav Gamliel doesn't seem to disagree with it, that chasen potami Kriyat Shema? But maybe what the Gemara wants to teach us, and this Mishnah wants to demonstrate from this story, is that an Adam Gadol, who is secure, he's sure about himself, that he can be Mechavin, then Rishus B'yado. Take a look at Tosus, Dira Maskel Maisa. However, the Marsha says that this is a little bit difficult, because the Mishnah later on Amud Beis, tells us that there's a machlokas tanoim about this very point. If you look in the Mishnayos, you'll see in Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eiger that our Mishnah is talking only about a patur of chasim from Kriyat Shema. But in a situation where he wants to read Kriyat Shema, the Mishnah doesn't address that case. Is he allowed to read Kriyat Shema or not? That's going to really be the subject of the Mishnah on Amud Beis. The story here in our Mishnah about Rav Gamliel is in order to bring a proof to his own statement that when he told his Talmidim that Meikra Adin, surely I'm potter from Kriyat Shema, but I was Machmir Al Atzmi. The Gemara now goes back to analyzing the Mishnah about Umnin, and the Gemara wants to distinguish between different categories of Umnin and between Umnin who are being paid for their work, and what about a Baal Bayis who's working in his own field? Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Ha'umnin, Korin, Barosha, Ilan, Barosha, Nidbach. They don't have to come down to the ground as they would have to do for Tefillah. Umispalim, Barosha, Zayis, Barosha, Te'ena. But although for most trees they have to come down from on top of the tree in order to recite Shemon Esrei, the exceptions are Zayis and Te'ena. And these are trees which are very sturdy, they have a great deal of foliage, many, many branches, and they can stand Beravchus without any fear, and they don't have to worry about falling, they don't have to worry about the branches breaking, and they can have absolute Kavana, even the Kavana that's appropriate for Tefillah. The Ra'ah says that Barosh Shara Ilanos, also Lispalil, because he's Choshesh, that maybe part of the tree might break off as a result of the weight of his body. And therefore he explains that Rosh HaZayis and Te'ena, you're allowed to daven because the branches of these trees are very sturdy, and there's no chash that they will break. However, the Yushalmi explains that the reason why in the cases of Zayas and Tena, you could be mispal on top of the tree, is because it's a great deal of tircha to come down to the tree and get back up to the tree. Rabbi Yonah says that since the anfehem, the branches of these trees, are so manifold in comparison to other trees, therefore, getting up and getting down is very challenging. It requires a great deal of tircha. And if you're going to tell me that he has to come down from the tree, he's going to be vatal from the loch of the balabais, and that we don't want he do. So therefore, they allowed him these two trees to stay up on top of the tree and daven shmones. But b'shar kol ilonos yordin lamata mispalim. Now the Bryce wants to know, how do these dinim impact on the balabais who's working in his own field and he's climbing up to harvest his own fruits on his trees? Balabais benkach u'benkach. Even in the case of Rosh HaZayas or the Rosh HaTa'ena, and certainly in other Ilanos, is Yored Lamata Umispalel. And why is that? Because although we said it is possible to have Kavana, even for Tefillah, in Rosh HaZayas, Rosh HaIlan, and therefore we allowed the Umnin to do so, however, he's still concerned about the possibility of sakana, and they were only mekel for the case of polim, and that's because they don't want the polim to be mevatel from meleches balabais. But in the case of balabais himself, he's independent, he's not meshubet to anyone, and therefore they weren't mekel, and he has to come down even from Rosh HaZayis, Rosh HaTa'ena, where there's a little bit of pachad, there's a little bit of distraction and dochak, it's a little bit uncomfortable, and we want him to have the ravchus of standing on the ground and davening. It's not like the case of Polim, who are meshubadim lemeleches balabais. There are all comments here that there's a difference between umdin and balabais in a different way. The umdin are used to standing on high places, and they don't get nervous by it. And in the case of Zayis and Te'ena, they're able to be mechavin in that field. But a balabais is not usually up on the top of his Zayis or his Te'ena. And therefore it's ein daitum yushevas alav. He's not be able to be focused on his kavona for tefillah. And therefore he has to go down. Now if you accept the ra'ah, then if the balabais is in uman rogil bekach, just that he's working in his own field, then he would be allowed to read to daven Shmona Esrei up on the top of the Zayis and Te'ena. He's not afraid, and he can have the proper kavona. Rami lay Rav Mori brod Bashmuel Rava. Rami asked the following question to Rav Mori. It's interesting that it says Barah de Bas Shmuel, the son of the daughter of Shmuel. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ha'umnin Korin Barosha Ilam Barosha Nidbach. The Umnin are allowed to read Kriyat Shema up on the top of the tree. And it would seem that even if they are busy working, they're allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And the obvious question is, well, how could they mechavein on the top of the tree? They're, you know, in the constant fear, looking down and seeing what it would be, chas v'sholom, if they fell. Alma, we must derive the conclusion that lo boy kavana, that Kriyat Shema doesn't require kavana. Remini, what are we going to do with this stira from a b'ris? The b'ris is HaKori Shema Tzor Sheichavein Eslibo Shenema, Shema Yisrael. Interesting that the b'ris doesn't quote the pasuk Alevavcha. Ulahal and who Omer, when Moshe speaks to Klal Yisrael and Avos Moav, he says to them, Haskes Ushma Yisrael, which means to be Mechavin is Lev. And now we have a Gzeres Shava between Shema Yisrael in the parish of Kriyat Shema and Shema Yisrael in the parish of Haskes. And Malahalon, just like in the case of Haskes, Moshe was calling the people to listen with Kavanas Halev. They should be focused and have full intention to hear every word. Is Af Khan, even here in the case of Kriyat Shema, Haskes. So now we have a stira, because we're going to allow the Umnin to recite Kriyat Shema on the top of the tree, and yet we see that Kavana in Kriyat Shema is critical. So Rava didn't have an answer to Rav Mari's question, Ishtik, he was silent, but Omar Leh, And then Rava finally figured out that he has something to say to Rav Mari. Midi shmielach beha, perhaps you heard something from it. So he waited a while to ask him, maybe you know the answer to this question. Amale, Rav Mari responded, Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes. This is what Rav Sheshes said on the din of Amishnah about Umnin, that they're allowed to read Kriyas Manda Rosh Ilan Vahu Shebetelim Imalachtam Vekorin. In other words, that if they would have to take a break from their work at a moment when they're oskim b'malacha in order to recite Kriyat Shema, then they're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And once again, this would indicate that Kriyat Shema requires kavana. So now we have to understand what's going on in the case of Rosh Ha'ilan. And the answer seems to be that whether or not we could allow the Umnin to read Kriyat Shema Rosh Ha'ilan depends upon whether they're Bizman Sha'oskim Malachtam or Shalom Oskim Malachtam. From the fact that Rav Sheshes understood that Bizman Sha'oskim Malachtam, they're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema because Kriyat Shema requires Kavana, and therefore they're being mevatel from the Leches Balabayis, that when the Mishnah says that the Umnin could read Kriyat Shema Barosh Ha'ilu Barosh HaNidbach, they're going to be able to concentrate the minimum amount of Kavana and they won't be mevatel b'malachtam. So the Gemara now asks a kasha on Rav Sheshes from a Braisa. How can we possibly say that our Mishnah would allow the Umnin to read Kriyat Shema, and it's only because they would otherwise be mevatam and malachtam if they had to come down from the tree? Varsanya, we have a brisa. We quoted this earlier on Daf Yud Aleph, Beis Hillel Omrim, that people who are oskim b'malachtam v'korin kriyat shema, that people are allowed to read kriyat shema even while they're oskim b'malachtam. And yet our Mishnah says that there was a special heter for umnin, and the Umnin have to be mevatel mimalachtam. That was Rav Sheshes' take, his interpretation of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah, when it says Ha'umnin Korin Barosh Ha'ilan, Husha B'Telem mimalachtam v'Korin, that while they're doing the melacha, because of the requirement of kavana, they're not allowed to have kavana. But here we see in Beis Hillel that even a regular person, while he's working, he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema. We assume he will have kavana. And Rav Sheshes interprets the Mishnah that it's betelim imlachtam, that they're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema while they're osik b'malacha. The Gemara answers, lo kasha, ha b'perk rishon, ha b'perk sheni. Now the Mishnah is talking about the first parasha of Kriyat Shema, which absolutely requires kavana, and therefore umnin have to stop from the malach in order to read Kriyat Shema, because barosh ha'ilon they can't have the proper kavanah. The Braisa of Beis Hillel is talking about the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, and that doesn't require kavanah. Now, here there's a very important discussion, and it has to do with Rava, who Liel earlier, he did not want to give the answer that our Mishnah is talking about Oskim B'Malacha, and we're referring to the second parak of Kriyat Shema. Because if that would be the case, then instead of making a distinction between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, the Mishnah should have applied the logic of Liflog V'Lisnei B'Dida. It should have been Mechalik with Kriyat Shema Gufa between the first parak and the second parak. Now, it comes out of Agamara that the entire first parak Rishon requires Kavana. And it sounds like even Rava accepted this answer. And yet, there's a Gemara that we learned on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, where Rava Paskin's Halacha Karabi Meir, that only in the first parts that you need Kriyat Shema. And here, it's the first parak. So the Rif says that our Gemara reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Liel. He holds that you need Kavana for the first parak. However, even Rava would be Moda that you have to be Mevatel Mimalachton, you have to desist from work, take a break during the entire first parak. And that's not because of Kavana, because otherwise it would be Kriya Kederech Aroi. And you'll see this also in the Rosh. Now, why is it that they were machmir in the first perek that he shouldn't read it derech haroi? That's a difficult question. Now, the Baal Amor raises another objection to the Rif, and he explains that Rava rejected this Gemara's answer because Rava holds that you're allowed to be osek b'malacha after kriyas pasuk rishon, because the requirement of kavana is only during pasuk rishon. And obviously, then, according to Rava, there's no Issa Kriya Kederach HaRoi. Now, it's interesting because there are Rishonim that simply understood that when it says Perek Rishon, it really doesn't mean Perek Rishon, but rather it means Pasuk Rishon. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, HaPolim Shayu Osim Meloch Etzel Baal HaBayis. And they have a shibud to do the malacha korin kriyat shma varchel lefanel achreha ketikuna v'ochlim piton umavarchel lefanel achreha umispalim tefila shel shmona esrei. And once again, with all the brachas of shmona esrei kilchasa. So it seems that within the context of the contractual agreement between the Baal HaBayis and the poel, it was understood that the poel would take a break in order to fulfill these basic mitzvahs. But the pole is not allowed to be the shots. That would take too much time, and that would steal time for the Baal HaBayis. The Enos and Kapayim, likewise, if they're Kohanim, they don't come and participate in the Sias Kapayim. That would be too much of Bitul Melacha. And that far, Chazal would not allow. We see clearly from this Braisa that the Polim have to read Kriyat Shema Bizmano. They have to read Tefillah, be Mispal Tefillah Bizmano. But yet the Baal HaBayis doesn't have the authority to be Ma'akev. And this I remember when we were in the army, we would always ask our officers to give us ample time to daven. And that was built into the system of Tzahal, that a religious soldier is allowed to request, and his request will be recognized and honored, that he should have time to daven. Now it's interesting that the Braisa mentions Ochlim Pitam Umevarchim Lefanel Achreo Umispalalim Tefillah Shel Shmona Esrei. Why does the Braisa mention Ochlim Pitam and then Umispalalim? And the answer is Kidei Lahasmich Birkas HaMazon LeKriyat Shema. In other words, the Braisa wants to attach together Kriyat Shema and Birkas HaMazon. So even though Tefillah really belongs before Ochel Piton, but he wanted to be Masmich Ochel Piton, which is Doraisa, meaning Birkas HaMazon, to Kriyat Shema, which is Doraisa. Now the Gemara question raises a stira from a different Braisa. But Tanya, didn't we learn another Braisa? With regard to Poalim, since they're Meshubadim, from Aleches, Baal HaBayis, they're from Ispalim, May Ein Shmona Esrei. Notice they recite the first three brachas, the last three brachas, and the middle is a collapsing of all the other brachas into what's called Havinenu. And there's going to be a Machlokes later on in Masechta Brachas, as to whether or not Havinenu is an okay tefillah on a regular basis or only in very special, urgent situations. In any event, we're not going to tell them that they should recite the entire Shmona Esrei from beginning to end. Well, the first Braisa said that it's built into the contractual agreement that the Polim will have a break and they will read the entire tefillah. Amar Rav Sheshes lo kasha, Harav Gamliel v'ha Rabbi Yoshua. This is not a steer, because the Braisa that says that the Polim will daven the entire Shmona Esrei, that reflects the Shita of Rav Gamliel, who says later on in Daf Chav Ches that a person should daven all Shmona Esrei brachos Veha, in the Brisa that says Polim, Mispalim, Me'ein, Shmon Esrei, that's Rabbi Yeshua says that on a regular basis a person is not required to recite the entire Shmon Esrei. He can recite Havinenu, and it's Me'ein Shmon Esrei. Well, that doesn't make any sense, the Gemara says, because he, Rabbi Yeshua, my iria Polim, afilu kol Adam Nami. Why would the Brisa isolate Polim for Tfilas Havinenu, as if to say that they're stealing time for the Baal Bais, when according to Rabbi Yeshua, this halach should apply l'chol adam, that anyone on a regular basis is allowed to daven a short, abridged form of Shmon Esrei. And that's a sugya later on, which we'll get to and we'll delve into. But for now, all we have to know is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, any person can daven on a regular basis that tefillah me'ein shmona esrei. Ella says, no, let's go back to our original premise. Edi ve'edi Rav Gamliel. The two brises were authored by Rav Gamliel. And Rav Gamliel holds that every person has to be mispal all of shmona esrei. Ve'lo kasha, there's no steer between the two brises. Kan the brisa that says the polim or mispalim me'ein shmona esrei is biosin bischaron. These are polim who are being paid for the hours that they work. These are laborers. But for Khan, the brisa that says the polim should be mispalel the entire Shmon Esrei, that's referring to Khan, biosin bisuudasan. So let's understand. There is one brisa that says that the umnin, the polim, should be davening me'ein Shmon Esrei. And another says, no, they daven the entire Shmon Esrei. And the difference is because there are two categories of polim. The brisa that says, me'ein Shmon Esrei, in the case of polim, is addressing the case of polim ha'osim b'scharam. They're paid for their pu'ula, a handsome salary in cash, and that's in addition to the su'uda, which the Baal Bais has to supply for them. He's got to feed them. But in such a case, they have to do a quick job, and we're going to give them the opportunity and the obligation to recite Me'ein Shmones, because they are being paid for every moment that they're working, and therefore they have to limit it. But the brisa that says the poem could daven and should daven the entire Shmon Esrei, that's osim b'sudasam. In other words, they don't get a wage. All they get is their food. And they're willing to hire themselves out just in order to not to starve, you know, just in order to get food. They're not even paid minimum wage. And since their wages are so meager, almost non-existent, all they're getting paid in wages is the suda they eat, the food that they eat. So therefore, the Baal Bais should be more flexible and allow them to finish and complete the entire Shmon Esrei. So Gemara brings a proof for this last distinction. Vasanya, and we learned in a Braisa exactly what we just said before, this distinction between Osim B'Scharam and Osim B'Sudasam, and says in the Braisa, Polim Shayu Osim Melach Eitzel Baal Bais, is Korin Kriyat Shema Umispalim V'ochlim Pitom V'ein Mevarchim Lefaneha Alvam Varchim L'Achrei Ashtayim. So let's understand this price. So we're talking about Paulim, and we're not talking about some sort of Seuda arrangement, but rather regular Paulim, and therefore they are allowed to do the minimum. And that's called Bamedvar Amurim Bischaron. Bischaron means that they're Osim Bischaron, they're getting a full-fledged wage and salary for every moment that they work, and therefore they should be Makatsa B'Kriyat Shema. And the Brisa insists that they don't recite the entire Kriyat Shema. They recite a bracha of Hamotzi Lech Min Haaretz when they eat the pas. And they recite L'Achreha, which means Birkas HaMazon, is kolin boni Yerushalayim birkas hamazon. So let's understand. It says here that bracha rishona, and again, all this is referring to the polim osim bischaron. So we're talking about bracha rishona is hazan esakol that they recite kitikuna. But when we get to the second bracha, which opens with birchas haaretz nodelucha, then kolim habracha shlishis shehi boni Yerushalayim bebirchas haaretz. So the bracha of boni Yerushalayim is now being integrated into the second bracha of birchas hamazon. And the reason for that is because there is a certain similarity here, an affinity, if you will, between Kriyat Shema and the second bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which is Hazon HaSakol. And then it says, V'kololin boni Yerushalayim b'Birkas HaOretz, which means that in the third bracha, which is called boni Yerushalayim, we will integrate and combine boni Yerushalayim with the second bracha of Nodelcha because of a certain similarity, as we said, an affinity, bracha seilu domo zulazu, and they completely omit the fourth bracha, which is atov v'meita, that's all derabbanan. But we see very clearly from this brisa what we saw before, and that is that when we come to Poland, we have to be very limited in terms of how much time they take away from the balabais. As we said earlier, the brisa that said that polim should recite only me'ein shmona esrei, they don't recite the entire shmona esrei, that was a case of osim bischaram. What we're going to see now is b'medvar amurim, this brisa that says again they have to be very curtailed and they should recite only parts of Birkas HaMazon, that's Osim B'Scharon. And just like Osim B'Scharon, we were Mekil in Tefillah to allow Me'ein Shmon Esrei, but we were Machmir because of the time in the Shiva to the Baal Bayis. So to hear in the case of Birkas HaMazon for Polim, we're going to say that since they're Osim B'Scharon, it's like the Me'ein Shmon Esrei we spoke about before, it's the Me'ein Bracha Achrona. However, says the Raisa, Osim B'Sudosam, if you have Polim who are being paid not a wage but rather get free food, Oshay Balbais, Mesiv Imon, the Balbais is eating with them, is then Mevarchim Kiti Kuna, then they should bench the entire Birkas HaMazon without abridging it. Now the reason why, if the Baal Bais is eating with them, they could be mevarach the Birkas HaMazon Kitikuna, that's because he's doing this for kavod. He wants to show his kavod to the employees. And bevadai mochalem ala hefsed. And for sure, he's not going to sue them in a court of law for the hefsed that they took out some time for Birkas HaMazon. That's in the case of Polim HaOsim B'Seudasan. Now, according to the Maskana of this sugya, even though Birkas HaMazon is Doraisa, and the Polim are Trudim V'Melechas Baal HaBayis, nevertheless, Chazal cut down the Birkas HaMazon on behalf of the Polim. And that's a case of Polim Sha'osim Bischaron. Some assume that the Chachamim here made this takana to shorten the Birkas HaMazon in the case of Polim who are Osim Bischaron, and they activated their authority under the principle of Yeshkoch B'yad Chacham Lakar Dov Min HaTorah, the Sugin Yevamistav Tzadi. And you'll take a look at Tosus here on the bottom of our page, Dibra Maslo V'Chosem. Now, Tosus uses the word Trudim, U'Trudim V'Leches Baal HaBayis. The Levush says that if they'll be Marech in the Bracha, then they'll be matrid the balabayas. That's what it means by tard. Yatridom balabayas. The balabayas is getting very nervous. Why are they taking so long? And he's going to start pressuring them so that they won't have the proper kavana. So it's better if we integrate and therefore bridge Birkas Hamazon without any, hopefully any loss to kavana, than to start, you know, splitting it up and saying that they have to read the entire Birkas Hamazon, and then they get everybody nervous. Also, keep in mind that if there'll be marach in Birkas Hamazon, then in the future the Baal Bais doesn't want to pay them, he doesn't want to hire them. It just doesn't make sense for him to hire them. Good. So now we have a case of Baal Bais Mesiv Imoyim, and as we said earlier, let's just reiterate, if the Baal Bais is eating with them, then he's doing it to be mechabed them, he's mochel on his hefseid, and they could read the entire Kriyat Shema. So again, the final conclusion of this Gemara is that Polim or Osim B'Scharam will daven a Me'ein Shmon Esrei and Me'ein Birkas HaMazon. That's the Gemara's answer to reconcile the stira in the two brises. The third brise is coming to prove that there's a difference between polim osim b'malachton and polim who are osim b'su'udason. It's a little bit difficult that this last brise itself doesn't make a distinction between tefillah, with regard to tefillah, between the different categories of polim. We find with regard to Birkas HaMazon, there are different dinim, whether to recite the whole Birkas HaMazon or combine, etc., etc. We make a distinction between Polim and Osim B'Scharon and Osim B'Su'udasam. But why don't we make a similar distinction with regard to Tefillah? That means that even with regard to Tefillah, if it's a Poel who's Osim B'Malacha, then we're going to be more makil in order to cut down the time loss and the hefseid of the Baal Bais. That should have appeared here in this brisa, and it was completely omitted. It's not clear with regard to tefillah with the brisa that we're learning here that was makil with regard to Birkas HaMazon to integrate the third bracha into the second bracha would also allow and require that the polim osim b'scharon would condense their shmon esrei and recite what we call me'ein shmon esrei tefillas havineinu. That's not clear in the braisa. Now the Mishnah says that chasam potami kriyat shma. The Gemara analyzes what is the source for this Tana Rabbana we learned in a braisa. It says in the parasha of kriyat shma, v'dibarta bam b'shivtu v'esecha prat la'osek b'mitzvah. And then it says, "Belech chavaderech prat lechasan mikan omra konis abzula potra konis almona chayev." So, just to summarize, this brisa derives the principle of osik b'mitzvah potra and a mitzvah from parshas Kriyat Shema, the first parsha. And there are two extra phrases in this parasha that we darshan, Peshivtcha Veisecha, and then comes Belech Chavaderech. This Belech Chavaderech is addressing the case of a chasan, he's potter from Kriyat Shema. My mashma, how do we see any mashmos in this parasha that we're talking about osik b'mitzvah potav in a mitzvah. Amar Rav Papa says that with regard to Kriyat Shema, the Torah says b'shivtcha b'veisecha v'lechtcha v'derech, which means that he has to read Kriyat Shema because he's on the derech. What is derech? Ki derech ma derech rishus af hacha nami rishus. So when it says b'shivtcha and b'lechtcha, we're talking about a rishus, and therefore he's chayav in Kriyat Shema. However, in the case of mitzvah, osik b'mitzvah is potter mitzvah. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, milo askin to kazal advar mitzvah. Where does it say in the pasuk that he's involved in reshus? Maybe he's on his way to do a mitzvah. And that's what b'lech chavaderech means. Afilu achi yom rachmana likri. So there is no p'tur of osik b'mitzvah potter mitzvah. Where do you see it in the pasuk? Im Kain, the Gemara answers that if he's on his way to do a mitzvah, Le Makra, the Torah should have said, Beleches, which is mashma, whether it's a devar mitzvah or lecha es l'rishus, but my belech techa in the possessive shma mina, belech es nida hu de mechayvis ha de mitzvah ptiris, that when are you chayv in Kriyat Shema, that's only belech techa, which means belech es didach. Now, let's just make one comment here. When the Gemara asks Milo Askina de Ka'azli Lidvar Mitzvah, the Gemara is not arguing in halacha here, and it certainly embraces the sheet of Osik Mitzvah Potim. It says Gemara is just attacking Rav Papa. How did Rav Papa see that and derive from this pasuk? The pasuk just says Belechtecha, which could be Belechtecha Lidvar Mitzvah. Rav Papa himself didn't darshan that because it says Ba Derech, and Ba Derech means the classical Derech, the Derech HaRegila for Dvar Rishus. Now Rashi, not here but earlier in the Sugya Vosik B'Mitzvah, says that the Gemara's Kasha here is on both drushes, on B'Shivtcha and B'Lechtcha. The Makshin wants to ask that even though Osik B'Mitzvah Mamish, even in the case of Osik Mitzvah Mamish, the implication might be that he's chayev. And the Tzlat says, why did the Torah have to write this pasuk? Why wouldn't we have assumed logically that Osik b'mitzvah potim l'mitzvah? And the Tzlat says just the opposite, that there is no p'tur of Osik b'mitzvah potim l'mitzvah. Logically, we have to derive it from a pasuk, and that's what we're working hard to figure out how we derive it from the pasuk. The Gemara in Sukkah quotes a drasha to pater up an osik b'mitzvah because it says in Bamidbar Perek Tes that a osik, that ha oskim b'mes mitzvah p'turim mikarben Pesach. And clearly that is a reflection of the principle of osik b'mitzvah potim in a mitzvah. So again, whether or not Osik Mitzvah Potim Mitzvah needs a pasuk, because logically we would have assumed that he's not Potim in a Mitzvah, that's this discussion here about the need for B'Shivtcha V'Secha V'Lechtcha V'Derech, which allows an Osik Mitzvah to continue, and even though he gives my Kriyat Shema, he's not Chayv in Kriyat Shema. And if we accept that drush, it means that the implication is that from a logical perspective, he should be chayv in a mitzvah. We would not apply the principle of osik b'mitzvah. And the exception to the rule is that osik mitzvah potim mitzvah is derived from a drasha over belechtcha baderech. We are now up to daf tezayin amid beis. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if a chassan is potter because of osik b'mitzvah, my area hakonis sabasula afil kodesh salmon enami. Why do you limit yourself to the case of a chassan who is marrying a basula? Even if he's marrying an almana, he should also be potter from kriyat shema because nesui almana is a mitzvah, and we say osik mitzvah potter from a mitzvah. And the Gemara answers hacha tarid v'hacha lo tarid. That when he marries a besula, he's Torah Machsheves Be'ila. And therefore, the Torah patted him up from Kriyat Shema. And basically what we're saying is that he has such a tirda that he won't be able to concentrate and recite Kriyat Shema with Kavana. But Hach, in the case of Kodesh Salmona, he's not Torah Machshavto, and therefore he could be Mekayim both of them. He could be Mekayim both Lisa Kones Es Almona. Number two, he can mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Therefore, we don't establish a p'tur in the case of Hakones Es Almona. Now, at this point, the Gemara understood that the reason why Chassan is potter is because he cannot concentrate; he's tarud. So the Gemara says, well, if there's a new p'tur here that's derived from Lechtcha Baderech, that if somebody is tarud and he doesn't have the ability to focus and concentrate on his Kriyat Shema, he should be potter. Afilu tovas even also bayam nami. Even someone who took a tremendous financial loss and he's tarid b'tzaro, he should be potter from Kriyat Shema. is Alom Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav Avel Chay B'chol Mitzvah Samuris B'Torah Chutz Min HaTfilin Shenemar Bahen Pe'er. So the only mitzvah that an Avel is potter from, and even that is only on the first day of Yom HaMisi, Yom HaKfura, is Tfilin. But as far as all mitzvah Torah, which includes Kriyat Shema as well, he's Chayav. So we're not going to apply this principle of Tarut and say that Tavas Vinasa Bayam should also be potter. Now when it says Nemar Ben Pe'er, this is a reference to a pasuk in Yechezkel, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses Yechezkel with the words Pe'ercha Chavosh Alecha. Now it seems that the Torah is addressing Yechezkel and telling him that dafka, he has to be noeg, that although avelim are noeg not to wear tefillin on the first day, that he should wear tefillin, and tefillin are called pe'er. And the message is even though avelim don't wear tefillin, and that's because tefillin is called pe'er, and pe'er is antithetical to the state of avelus, which is the state of nevil, but nevertheless you, Yechezkel, you will place your tefillin on, you will don your tefillin, even though you're an avil for the loss of your wife. Anyway, we see from here clearly that avelim are only exempt from the mitzvah tefillin, but they're chayiv in all mitzvah Torah, including Kriyat Shema. Now, if there's a p'tur of Kriyat Shema called Tarud, then that should apply to an avil as well. And the Gemara, in a sense, is adding this to the original question about Tovas Vinos Bayam. And, you know, if we would be consistent and we're applying the Patur of Torah to the case of the Chosan, we should apply it likewise to the case of Tovas Vinos Bayam. He's also Torah, he can't concentrate on Kriyat Shema, and an Ovel as well. And yet an Ovel is Chayiv in Tefillin, and in Kriyat Shema. Amri, so the Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of Tarat Finasa Biyam, or in the case of Avelus, is Tirda Dirishus Hacha, but here in the case of Chasan, who's married to Basula, is Tirda the Mitzvah. And basically what the Gemara is saying is that there's a new category of Ptur Kriyashma called Tirda, but it's only Tirda the Mitzvah. And in the case of a Chasan, who's completely tarred because of the mitzvah rishona, the vila rishona, he cannot be mechavin in Kriyat Shema, that's a p'tur. And he's being mahara in mitzvah rishona, he cannot focus on Kriyat Shema for that kavana, and he's potter. Anyone else who's tarred b'tirda the rishus, he's obligated to overcome his tirda and to be mechavin the mitzvah of